Radio Tux. The German Linux Radio. The German Linux
Radio. I'm here with Martin from XBMC.
Hello.
Martin, who are you? What are you doing?
Well, I'm one of the developers for Xbox Media Center, or XBMC now, as we no longer support the Xbox. And I've been with the project for over 18 months now. I joined working on web interface and trying to improve the user experience. And that's culminated in some new features in our latest release. And we're now working on a new set of features, building on the new features that we've just released, which was is our add-on system. So the ability for users to create new features within XBMC. So for people who've never used XBMC before, it's a home theater platform, a media center platform. That has a 10-foot interface designed for large screens, very easy to use, and display your content in a nice way, in a pretty way, basically.
Agreed.
And, yeah, so in the past, it's always been a case of people were having to make add-ons that would then have a long, lengthy list of instructions on how to install. It would involve people with having a technical background and being able to connect into the file system, copy files into the correct places. And so in our latest release, codenamed Dharma, we got rid of all of that. We introduced an add-on system where there was a repository where people could be officially hosted, and then people can go online and just push a button and it downloads and it installs, it unpacks into the correct locations, and it's immediately available. And one of the big benefits of this is we're seeing a lot more user interfaces customized, tailored for different rooms, different sizes of rooms, different color schemes, and additionally getting third-party sources, so things like YouTube, TED Talks, various other live podcast streaming websites. And now what we're trying to do is move towards doing a system called binary add-ons, which then allows us to start introducing more commercially orientated sources, so people like Spotify, Netflix, Hulu.
Let us start a little bit more in the beginning. What can one do with Xbox Media Center?
So
you can play videos. Okay, perfect.
You've got a few basic things. You've got it comes with a weather add-on that shows you what the current weather is. Very useful in the mornings when I wake up.
And it looks great.
It does. It's all down to the skin, the designer of how they make it look and feel. It's got a picture gallery, so anything that's hosted there, when you're not using the machine and the screen is still on, then you'll start to see effectively a very large picture frame. Then we have a music library, which has all your albums and songs, and they are all categorized and sorted based on genre and
they don't have to stay on the machine itself. You can connect via UDMP, UPnP, sorry.
Yes, so all of our content can come from a Samba share. We support live streams. There is a whole list of sources of media that we support. USB thumb drives that just automatically get mounted and you can access the content from there. In fact, if you go on to the website, then there's a full list of the supported formats and sources.
You support a big bunch of protocols?
Yes, I mean, we leverage a lot from the media stream that we use, which is FFmpeg. So we effectively support what formats FFmpeg supports. And then we also support.
Yeah, you support UPnP.
I know that you can support DLNI.
Nearly any sort of streaming media.
Yes, and we do leverage FFmpeg to do most of the playback.
Okay.
So very much XBMC is the framework around displaying the content, accessing the content, rather than actually playing the content, we sort of pass that off to FFmpeg to do the playback.
Okay, FFmpeg had a fork a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It forked from FFmpeg to FFmpeg and libAV.
Yep.
Do you plan to use libAV? You're close to the booth of libAV.
We're right next door to the guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think the discussion has really been had yet within the team as to which route we're going to go. At the moment, in the latest release, it's using FFmpeg, and as far as I'm aware, in the latest head release or nightly, it's still FFmpeg. I'm sure there's going to be a meeting at some point in the near future where we make a sort of an official stance on which way we're going.
How many developers work on XBMC? I have to get it right. I always say it in the wrong way. I'm always telling XMBC.
It's ever so much in flux. We're fairly laid back on people's involvement. We once people start to become an active contributor to the system and supply updates and patches and help out, then we offer them a position within the team to come on board, and there's no real commitment in terms of their number of developers. So I think active we've probably got around 30 developers, but we've gone through a few more than that over the years because we've been around for around about 10 years now. So it's a constant
That's normal for an open source project, that the people are coming and going and searching a new project.
Yeah. We've had some people that have been around for quite a few years, from the very beginning, and they're still with us and they're still actively developing. And sometimes people have done their area and it works, and they have their own lives and things to get involved with, and they'll only get back involved when their area needs a bit more work. There is quite a few mature, stable areas of the system that don't need changing. And equally, there's quite a few areas that we think need a bit more love and affection and a bit more work and improvements. And so that's what we're actively working on at the moment.
What is the latest and greatest you released with XBMC?
So as I was saying earlier, the latest release we've done, which is codenamed Dharma, or it's our 10th, version 10, so we say, was our add-on system, and that allows users to contribute their own work. It's all written in Python, and these are either hosted themselves in their own repositories, and users can install a link to those repositories, or they can get added to the official repository so long as they're all legal and everything's above board. And they're available by default, so when you first load up XBMC, you can go to the add-on section and you can see a list of all of these available things to download. That ranges from things from skins to audio plugins, picture add-ons, video plugins, subtitle enhancements, visualizations, so screensaver type things, right the way down to the web interface that you would use to sort of administer the system behind the scenes or use on an iPad or an iPhone. So people have done interfaces that work on just on the iPhone, and people have done ones that work just on a PC, and you can choose which ones you want to have available.
XBMC runs on several platforms.
It runs on the obvious one, Linux. It also runs on Mac OS X. It runs on Windows, and also is available on iOS. So if people have an Apple TV, they can jailbreak the latest version 2, and just install it through Cedar, which is the sort of free add-on system, iTunes version. And then there's also our ARM, which is sort of supported. It works to a degree. We had a Google Summer of Code last year where we worked to get XBMC on the BeagleBoard, which is a sort of an open source hardware platform, and we did we made great strides towards that. And we're still improving that work, and we're using a lot of the things we learnt about where we're not as efficient as we can be to improve the user interface rendering and make it faster to load the application, and so that it will in turn run on lower end hardware, which by proxy means that people can buy cheaper hardware to run XBMC on.
Okay, it's only a project to see if it runs on the BeagleBoard and to open the variety of hardware platforms you're running.
Yeah,
on.
I mean, we are working on that. There is other companies that have got other chips. Sigma comes to mind, and Aminocom, which are two big IPTV set-top box manufacturers or chip suppliers, and that they're working on their own ports or working with us to make a new make XBMC work on that on those chips, and so all of this work is coming around to actually making it more efficient, able to run on cheaper hardware, so that hopefully we can have our own companies that produce hardware that runs on a very cheap hardware that people can buy and put in their living rooms and not have to really worry too much that it's going to be a big expense. And
are the platforms treated equally, or do you have any...
It all depends on developer resource. So okay. there's a strong number of developers that work on Linux. There's a fair few that run Windows, and we have a few that do the Mac and the iOS work. Now, we make sure that all of the features work on all of those three platforms before we make a new release. Or in fact, four now, because we've got iOS. As for the other platforms, ARM and Sigma and the low-powered Intel, they're not part of our official releases at the moment, so they might get a slightly little bit less love than the other versions do.
But if you get developers
if we get the developers, then there's no reason why we wouldn't have a full release along with the rest of our other releases. Mm-hmm. It's just been a case of manpower and also enthusiasm within the team. We're enthused about running on Linux and on Windows and on Mac, and so that's where we focus our efforts. If someone wants to provide us with the hardware and the resource and what have you to work on other platforms, then I'm sure there'll be people that'll be willing to give it a go.
Okay, good. You told me there's a big ecosystem around XBMC, like.
There's a lot of vendors that are using XBMC either as a demonstration of the capabilities of their hardware, or using it as to run a business. So there are vendors out there that use XBMC in hotels. So some listeners may have been into a hotel room where they think the interface looks fairly familiar because it's running XBMC, although it might be a slightly customized version. I had a nice surprise in Amsterdam last September where I went into a hotel and it was running XBMC, and I was like, this is a bit strange.
Yippee!
Well, I was expecting to plug my laptop in and be using XBMC on the machine. I went, don't need to do that anymore. I can have the laptop on the bed instead.
Oh, great, yeah.
As for myself, I have been involved with XBMC for over a year now and wanted to work on it full time and actually make a living from it. So I got involved with Motorola and a few other manufacturers and have started to produce remote controls and small home theater PCs that will be coming online in the next couple of months. And the idea behind that is trying to make XBMC more approachable to new users, people who maybe are not as technical, who don't want the hassle. And so they can just buy a box turnkey solution, if you will.
Which license are you using for XBMC? The vendors are using XBMC for their boxes.
Do
they have to provide the source code?
Yes. So The XBMC runs on GPL v2, so any modifications to the code need to be the source code needs to be provided. Some vendors ship just the binary unmodified, so they don't provide themselves the source code. They just provide a text file saying you can find the source code at this website. Go and check it out.
Here's a copy of the GPL. It has to be there.
Yes, yeah, those simple things. But they're very much there. Just support. They're looking to promote their own hardware. It's very similar to myself. And then there's some other companies that do more interesting modifications to the system, and they do in turn host their own forks and their own copy of the source code. The most famous one of this is Boxy, who took XBMC. Modified it, introduced their own hardware platform, and that they still provide their source code for a large portion of it. There's some closed source stuff which is done as a workaround around the GPL, and it's done for, in my opinion, sort of good reason, because they have commercial agreements with the likes of Netflix, who require that their technology is kept under wraps, and that's fair enough. So
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
What is on the roadmap for XBMC for the next month and years eventually?
So right now we are doing a few things. We are trying to clean up our code base. We are living with a legacy of work running on the Xbox, and so our Python interpreter was embedded, so we're looking at splitting that away. We also had our own custom HTTP API, which was a way for people to control XBMC either through a remote control, like an Android remote or an iPhone, which has long since served its purpose. So we've now moved to JSON RPC. And in Dharma, we released our first version of that, but it quickly realized from the community that we'd missed a few bits and that it wasn't fully there. So we gained a few new members through that release that have now been working with us to fully finish that. And so in our next release, we'll have a fully supported JSON RPC library that you can connect to, and all the commands are there. And then we're, similar to how Boxy have had a problem where certain commercial partners need to have closed source licensing, we are introducing a binary add-on system so that people like Spotify or Netflix or Love Film can produce their own add-ons for XBMC in a controlled way where they make sure that all of their technology is kept under wraps.
Okay, that's great.
So that's the immediate roadmap, and while we've been here, we've realised how important TV playback is for the users. Up until now, we still continue to say use either Myth TV or TV Headend as a back end system, and XBMC sits perfectly well with those. But we do have our own branch that is focused on PVR, so its own EPG, its ability to play IPTV. Or DVB content. That development is progressing well, and hopefully down the line that will join the mainline code, and then we'll have a fully fledged system that does TV and also offline content.
All of media you want to do?
As much media as you can find. It's just been a case of time and effort and testing, and there's so many different platforms and hardware to support in the TV area that it takes a while to make it all work.
Totally agreed, and as long as you go with FFmpeg or LibAV, you have lots of formats you can play.
Yes, I mean there's a conscious decision to be using those libraries, as we're leveraging their manpower as well as our own to produce an even better product.
Yeah.
There's no point reinventing the wheel.
Yep, this is what the libraries are for. They are specialists in implementing codecs, and you are a specialist in inventing a very pretty and good user interface, and you are operating well on every sort of hardware.
Yeah.
So it's good to put the things together and, do not reinvent the wheel.
Indeed. I mean, we use many other libraries as well, like libirc for people who have got libir.
For remote control.
Yeah, LIRC, LibIRC, which is for the remote controls. So we work closely with those guys to make sure that as many devices can be supported as possible. Obviously, utilization of things like Python as well, which is the interpreter. There's no point trying to build our own interpreter for the plugins. So.
Okay. Did we miss something? Did we miss something in this interview? Are there some things?
Well, I mean, we're obviously, you can check us out at xbmc.org. And we've got forums and we're on IRC. And we've also got our mailing list. So we're all very helpful and we can help you out there.
It's pretty easy to install.
It is. We've got PPAs available in Linux. So Ubuntu and Debian, I think, have got a PPA available. We also host our own binaries through our mirrors, so you can just download it, install from there. For iOS users, it's available in Cedar, so that they don't need to do anything really. We host nightlies as well, so you can check out the latest work that we're doing and provide feedback, and that's always very, very valuable to us. We've got a track running with tickets and. The more people that can file bug reports, and means that we can develop faster and better and more supported.
You can't see any error on yourself. You have to rely on the people giving feedback.
We've only got a limited amount of hardware. We have limited resources in that respect.
Pretty normal,
so
yeah.
We need that sort of community power to test all the variants and then find the problems. And then if there is a problem that we can't fix, then we can go out and get the hardware or speak to the vendors and say, look, can you help us out here? We've got lots of people using your hardware. And trying to use it with our software, can we work together to come up with a fix?
Yeah, it's a win-win situation.
Indeed,
either for the user and for you as a developer.
Yeah, so please do get involved. Come on the forums and don't just sort of hide away and use the software. If you find it difficult to use, ask questions. We're very helpful and we'll help you out and get you up and running. And hopefully, you won't look back.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot, Martin.
No worries.
For having the time.
Not a problem.
And. Wish you success with your product.
Thanks so much.
Das war eine Sendung von Radio Tux, herausgegeben im Jahr 2011 unter Creative Commons by Non-Commercial Sharealike.de. Lieder sind eventuell anders lizenziert. Mehr Infos auf radiotux.de. Unterstützt von Tarent.
Fairtrade Software.